Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
My shit's hurt your soul, then I'm not gonna lie, my anus has a lot more power than I thought it did.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Aki and Jacob are here. How are you two doing?
Pretty good.
God, I hope that makes it into the recording.
That's why I said it as quick as I did.
God bless you.
Doc Havoc is joining us today. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Welcome to the show. It's been a while. How have you been?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
We're sorry.
Have you heard Cole left?
No, I have not.
Yeah, now it's just us.
What happened with Cole?
Family. He had to attend to real life. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, is it like a hiatus? Is she planning on coming back? Or
I don't think so. I think she's just finished and moving on to greener pastures and...
Oh, that's a bummer. I mean, hopefully she'll come back for some cameos every now and again.
We'll see. Hope so. That'd be nice.
That would be cool. I mean, at the same time, though, any place other than here is greener pastures. So, you know.
Yeah, I can respect that, you know, she wants to move on and move forward. And if she has to take those steps away from the show, then, you know, power to her.
Yeah, I totally understand. I wish I could get the fuck away from you people as well. So.
We do too, but the allure of like free review copies is too great.
Exactly. That is. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That's why we're just here for the free games.
That's why Aki puts up with me. That's why Cole put up with me. That's why Joe puts up with me. I don't know why you're here, Ian.
I got nothing better to do.
Nothing better to do. YOLO. Fuck it. Ain't got shit else to do. So, Game Pass. Y'all hear about all the Game Pass news going on?
Nope.
Maybe.
I know I've heard something, but I already forgot what it was because I was playing video games.
Ian, of all the people, you should really look into Game Pass because of how much you stream.
Oh, yeah. Game Pass is great for that. Shit. You'll never run out of fucking games to stream, I promise.
Yeah, but I'm like, stupidly picky about what games I want to play.
Well, good thing there's, like, 200 games on there to pick from.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot more than that, isn't there?
Well, on PC side.
Oh, okay.
PC might only be around 100. I don't know.
Yeah, I am a hard-carrying member of the PC Master Race, so.
Yeah. Good shit there. But a lot of games are joining Game Pass. Available now, we got Into the Pit and Outriders launched right to PC. Windows 10 launch. Surprise. It's on Windows 10 and it's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Does anybody actually still care about Outriders?
Outriders.
Whatever it's called.
I do plan on playing it eventually. I need room and time.
Well, I don't know how it is for the console side of things, but I know there was, I don't want to necessarily call it controversy, but on the PC side of things, they released a demo, which it was pretty decent. I mean, it offered a pretty good taste of what the game had to offer. And for all intents and purposes, like, you know, there was the potential for improvement and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And somehow the official release was actually worse than the demo, like performance wise, like it was bad. Very bad.
That's impressive.
I know it had a lot of performance issues when it first came out on consoles too. It was not particularly amazing when it first came out. I assume it's gotten better.
Carnage saying he enjoyed Outriders and got the 1K, but not much replay value. No Poll saying that they liked Outriders. Timber saying they thought Outriders was better than Avengers, which that's not really
everything. Is
I was gonna say that's a low bar.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, like, I haven't checked on it in quite a while because it kind of had its flash in the pan moment. People were kind of and it just kind of faded out of the limelight. So
I honestly don't know which is worse. Marvel's Avengers or Anthem?
Flip a coin.
I vote for Evolve.
Oh, don't remind me that exists, please, because I still have to finish that piece of shit too.
Can you?
Wait, yeah. How can you finish it? I thought they.
I don't think you're thinking of the right game. Evolve was an asymmetrical PvP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can play against AIs and still get. I think only one of the achievements was discontinued.
Although, I was going to say, they shut the servers down for that a couple of years ago.
I thought you could still play peer-to-peer, though.
You can, yeah. You can do that, and you can also play with AIs and still get all the achievements, and that game sucks.
Peer-to-peer for all four people who want to play together.
Yeah. It's one of those games where, like, if it wasn't for all the incredible pre-hype that just kind of set itself up for failure, on paper, the concept sounds like a pretty solid idea, but how it was handled, how it was marketed, how it was developed, how it was promoted. Yeah.
It just wasn't like a good game. It was bad.
I like how you could still find, like, a ton of those Funko Pops for it. And, like, they're trying to get rid of them for, like, under $2. And they just are not moving at all.
It's like, we'll pay you to take them.
No, hey, I had an import special edition of Evolve with, like, rubber bracelets. And a steel book.
That's why. I feel like
living proof that a fool and his money are soon parted.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you. That was far more poetic than what I was going to say.
Jacob was going to be like, fart, fart, fart.
Excuse me. I was going to say flatulence, actually. I am a fancy man.
Anyway, some other games that have joined Game Pass this week. Dragon Ball FighterZ has joined Cloud and Console. Echo Generation launched right to Game Pass. And Everspace 2 hit game preview on PC launch.
That's pretty cool.
Echo Generation is to know if I care about that or not.
I mean, the only one that I would really be after is the Dragon Ball Z game, and I bought that, like, I don't know, 2 years ago, and I still have yet to play it.
Proud of you.
The one that has a really big story to it, or is it one of them that's just purely a fighting game? Because I know there was
it's a fighting game. I think you're thinking of Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Yeah, that's the action RPG one.
That's literally the only one I've ever wanted to play.
That one's actually really good. I really enjoyed that. I never finished it, though.
Arnage saying Echo Generation is pretty chill and thinks that you would like it, Aki.
Nice.
I was going to say, because I heard the Xenoverse series, if memory serves, that did pretty well for itself.
For the Dragon Balls, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that in the franchise.
Anyway. Ooh, like Custom Quest. I like those games. Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll have to play Echo Generation then.
Oh, Custom Quest was adorable.
Yeah, I love those games.
Anyway, next week on October 28th, we're getting more games coming to Game Pass because... Why not? Age of Empires 4 launching direct to Game Pass on PC. Hey. Alan Wake American Nightmare hitting console and PC. Backbone hitting console. Non-Guns Doppelganger Edition. The Forgotten City. And then this one I know everyone's excited for, launching direct to Game Pass. Bassmaster Fishing 2022.
I'm not going to lie. I saw that and I was just like, maybe I should check that out.
Yeah, you will. I know.
Yeah, I know. There was a. This is like a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. There was a. There was a bull riding, game that was on sale. It's like eight. It's like Eight to Glory or something like that.
Oh yeah.
It was on sale for like not dirt cheap, but pretty cheap. And I was just like, oh, I'll just get it next time. It's never been on sale since, and it's just sitting there in my wish list to like taunting me.
Oh, everyone has that game. It's like, you know what?
My horse and me too.
I'm gonna pass on that. I'll just wait till it's on sale for like Steam Summer or something like that, and like it never goes on sale ever again.
Yeah, it's delisted.
It's like they intentionally know that you're waiting for it.
It's not delisted, but like, you know, part of me is hoping that, like, you know, by some magic, the game devs are listening right now, and they're just like, oh, maybe we'll put it on sale. Like, I know that they're not.
Oh,
fuck this Jacob guy.
Yeah, and then when they do put it on for sale, it's like 5% off. It's like, Oh, wow, thanks.
You know what?
Don't have to pay sales tax.
You know what? Fuck it. I would buy it at the 5%. I'm just, I don't care. just...
Well, you could find it at GameStop. It's physical.
Yeah, but I don't buy physical games anymore. Like, if I could help it.
Oh my god, physical games are like...
One's too good for physical.
No, it's just I ended up having to move like five times in a period of like 3 years, and I'm just so fucking done with physical media after having to move it up like to third story apartments like by myself, because my wife...
That's understandable.
Yeah, because my wife is just like, you want to have all this shit? You're moving it yourself. And I'm just like... Yeah. After the third move, I was like, fuck this shit. After the fifth move, I was like, I'm so done. Everything.
Well, it's like, Joe, imagine moving just the stuff in your man cave.
Yeah, no shit.
Five times in a couple of years.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Ashley and I did move around quite a bit, so.
I'm pretty sure if that happened, we'd be getting some free shit.
That actually did happen last time we moved. Yeah, Joe pretty much, yeah. Last time Joe moved to his current house, yeah, he pretty much was just, like, doing a quick fire sale. Like, I swung by the house one time just to, like, say hi. And he was just like, you want this? You want this? You want this? You want this? Like, all yes. This is $50.
I'm like... I got a free exercise bike.
You did.
I'm not even joking.
Damn, if I had the minivan at the time, I definitely would have taken that.
We couldn't fit it in the U-Haul, so you just threw it in your car and kept it. Fuck it.
Yeah, I had to dismantle it, and it barely fit in my car, but I took it.
Hey, whatever worked.
That's pretty great. But yeah, and then I came home, and my wife was just like, what the fuck is all this shit? You were up there for NEPA for the day to say hi to a few people. Why is the whole back seat of the car filled with this Joe's shit?
and you're just there in tears. Why, like, it would have been thrown away.
And why is your wallet $50 lighter?
Oh, geez. Anyway, not all good news. There's some games leaving Game Pass. Yes, we're still talking about Game Pass.
Oh, I forgot we were on that.
Yeah, a bunch of games leaving Game Pass at the end of the month. Carto, Celeste, Comanche is leaving PC, Eastshade, Five Nights at Freddy's 1, 2, 3, and 4, Knights and Bikes, and Unruly Heroes are all leaving Game Pass.
At least two of those are decent, and that's a shame.
I'm going to pick up Celeste before it hops off, but everything else I'm like, whatever.
I want to try Knights and Bikes before it's gone.
It's super cute. I totally suggest it.
Nice.
I have it on PC. Bikes.
Oh, and wait, just it's a fisting day? What? Oh, fish! And happy just a quick. Oh my God! Happy International Fisting Day. Okay.
Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. There was. I gotta find it. Somewhere, I found a tweet where it said today was International Throw a Short Person Day.
Isn't that every day you can find a short person?
Let's see. National Throw Short People Day. On October 21st, you can throw anybody under 5'6" with no permission needed. Prepare to be yeeted for it is the National Throw Short People Day.
Yeah, I see that on Urban Dictionary.
My niece is under 5'6". I'm going over to visit and fucking throw her against the wall. Come here.
Fantastic.
What the hell is that for? Drop that
in chat just for verification, because I know some people are like, Pixar isn't true.
Yeah, see, fisting day is because of censorship, is why it exists.
Oh, Jesus. More Minecraft is coming to Game Pass, as Minecraft Bedrock Edition and Java Edition are both hitting Game Pass for PC in November.
Yeah, that is some interesting news, is that Microsoft has been migrating the OG Java accounts over into the Microsoft accounts. I mean, I kind of brain farted, but like basically they're trying to bring all the old Mojang accounts from the original release over into the Microsoft family, as it were. So I guess they can kind of integrate better. So maybe at some point it might be possible for Java players to play with Bedrock players.
That'd be nice. I know that's like the only hurdle, is that Java and Bedrock can't play together.
Yeah. And it would be a lot of fun, because I know a ton of people with the Bedrock version.
I think it's just because so much stuff is like free mods in the Java edition that is now paid stuff in Bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of logistical red tape that they have to maneuver.
Yeah. Flight Sim is getting a Game of the Year edition release on November 18th with all of the DLC as well as some new content. So if you haven't picked up Flight Sim yet, November 18th is the time to do it.
Yeah. If you have a brand new Xbox Series S or X and you just want to fill it up with one game, there you go.
Yeah, seriously.
Jesus Christ, that game is ridiculously big.
Speaking of filling up your hard drive with one game, Forza Horizon 5 has gone gold. And,
surprise.
That motherfucker's 103 gig on Jesus. Series X and S.
Big surprise.
And I think 113 on Xbox One. It's bigger on Xbox One.
I wonder why.
Because they were able to reduce some of the textures because of how quick it loads. Yeah. Among Us is hitting Game Pass on December 14th.
Oh, wow.
For Xbox.
If you have any friendships you want to end.
Bold of you to assume we have friends.
Yeah, seriously.
If you had friendships you wanted to ruin, there were games long before this, like Overcooked, that you've already ruined them. They're gone.
No. I don't think anything will dethrone Monopoly as the guaranteed friendship destroyer.
Risk?
Risk. Risk has too much RNG. I mean, it's easy to get fucked over on like repeatedly bad dice rolls, but Monopoly is like cold, calculated, premeditative ass fuckery.
Maybe that's why I don't get along with my family, because we used to play Monopoly all the time when I was a kid. Maybe that's why I don't get along with any of them.
Yeah, because like Monopoly, like there's not a whole, well, I mean, aside from there's a very light RNG to it, but like 9 times out of 10, you know what you signed up for, you know what you're in for, and you know you're going to be hating everyone you play with for the next month after the game is over.
I agree.
Speaking of hating things, you know what I hate? How much it costs for the newly announced 2 terabyte Seagate SSD card for the Series X and S. Have you heard how much this fucker costs?
Wait, how much? No. How much memory does it have?
2 terabyte.
Okay.
What it should have, what the Xbox should have fucking come with at bare minimum?
$400.
Oh, fuck that. Oh, we're making it cheaper by making it only 1 terabyte. Motherfuckers could have made it more expensive, and it still wouldn't have cost an extra $400 fucking.
$399.99 for a 2 terabyte SSD expansion card.
Wow.
It's so fucking stupid. I hate
that's,
that.
That's like, how much, you know what, solid state drives are.
Like, I mean, in the 5 seconds it took for me to look up on Amazon, I can get a 2 terabyte for about $170. Brand new.
Nice. Link me, because I want it. Seriously, I've been looking for an SSD.
I'm just putting it into perspective as to how bad you guys are getting boned on that deal.
Now, people are defending it, saying, oh, it's the type of hard drive. It's the architecture of the hard drive. I don't know. All I know is I'm probably going to end up buying one because I need the space.
Yeah, I just like how we went from memory cards, decided memory cards sucked a lot of ass.
That's what I said. Why the fuck are we going back to memory cards?
It's like, no, memory cards still suck ass. Stop with memory cards.
I will
cards.
Say they are really small and convenient. So those little fuckers.
Such a dick.
It is not convenient. It is small. It is not convenient. But if you do want a smaller, if you do want a smaller option, they're going to have a 512 gig SSD memory card as well. That one will be 140,
which serves no purpose.
That gives you 500 gig extra.
So you can add maybe one game on there. Maybe.
Yeah. It depends on the games you play. Like my internal 1 terabyte has like 150 games on it.
Oh, wow.
Because it depends on the games that you put on there. I have some big stuff on there, like Forza.
How many songs could you fit on that?
Oh, let's not talk about whether he has any of his music in that.
Crazy Rock Band news this week.
Oh, God.
For the people who actually know what this means, one of the Schick Pack songs was released as DLC this week. The Schick Pack was a pack of songs that you could get about 10 years ago. That was only available as part of a promotion where you bought a pack of razors in the store, entered a code, and got a 3-pack of songs. Like, 10 people have these songs.
Oh, are these the ones you were missing?
No, I have these. Yeah.
Okay.
But
okay, but you were getting excited that maybe they'll bring back other delisted stuff.
No, I think it's notable that this is the first quote unquote D-list that has been brought back, but it's maybe we'll see the rest of the Schick pack released and people can complete their collections, because a lot of people are only missing those songs.
I don't know why they didn't just release all of them. I don't understand why they only did one song.
Supply and demand.
Licensing. They might not be able to get the rights to re-release the other two.
Yeah, that too.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Speaking of re-releases, Oddworld Soulstorm is getting a re-release with the Enhanced Edition launching late November for PS4, PS5, PC, and finally Xbox One and Series X and S. The digital version will be $40, the physical edition will be $50, and a collector's edition will be $150. And then the Enhanced Edition will be a free upgrade for current owners on PC and PlayStation.
That's cool.
Yeah. Elden Ring was delayed to February 25th. So that's about a month and a half delay. Same day as Saints Row.
That's coming out that soon. Oh, wow. Yeah. Is that coming out for just this generation, or is it coming out for the Xbox One as well?
I think Xbox One.
Good. I want that so bad. I fucking love Saints Row.
The Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack pricing was unveiled.
This is kind of bullshit.
Yeah. This was bullshit.
It includes the N64 games, the Genesis games, and some Animal Crossing DLC that you have as long as you're a member. And it costs $50 for a year, up from 20.
Yeah, and you don't get very much extra.
No, you don't. The big meaty piece of content is the Animal Crossing DLC, and a lot of people don't give a shit about that DLC. Like a lot of people haven't touched Animal Crossing in a year, like me.
Yeah, wasn't it like there was like six Nintendo 64 games or something, and that was it?
No, I don't know. It's not many. The N64 and Genesis libraries are going to be small, and they're going to just drip feed games like two a month or some bullshit like that. They had a virtual console built on Wii U and Wii that, you know, they had hundreds of games available for people to buy, and now it's just drip feed bullshit. I hate it.
Yeah, and you can buy those Raspberry Pis, and they're able to play. You're able to get all the games on there with emulators and just play.
I'm not a fan of emulators anymore. I don't know. I'd rather do it legit.
I've never used one, but then you actually get to play the fucking games instead of, here's five games.
Not like Nintendo's ever going to give us Terranigma in America, so.
Yeah, they won't release a lot of games over here, so.
Dicks. CD Projekt Red has delayed Cyberpunk's 2077's next-gen upgrade to first quarter 2022 and The Witcher 3's next-gen upgrade to quarter 2.
I wonder why they're not doing The Witcher's. That kind of surprises me.
Yeah, The Witcher's was actually just rated, so a lot of people thought it would be closer to release, but it looks like that one's still a bit off.
The Cyberpunk one, that doesn't shock me, because I don't think they've fixed the game yet, even. So it's going to be a while before they do anything with that, because they're still fixing that fucker.
Man, did you play Cyberpunk?
No. I just kept hearing, like, I was chomping at the bit to buy it, because I was going to kind of wait. I've gotten into the habit of, like, just waiting for the initial hubbub to kind of die down to see what people feel about it. And I just... everything for like a solid like 2 months after its release is like, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. And not even that, like, you know,
it's still terrible.
Not even like the narrative elements, it's just like the performance, the glitches, the weird ass shit, things breaking, things getting janked. You know, I mean, there are channels that have made their bones posting montages, like 15-minute montages of isolated glitches and weird ass things that have completely stuttered and broken the game. So it's like, I'll wait until they kind of sort of
it's still broken. Sadly, they fixed a lot of stuff and it is still fucking broken as hell. I can't wait for them to fix it.
Most of the fuckery is on console. Like, the PC version wasn't nearly as bad.
Well, the PC version was pretty bad.
as bad, nearly as bad. That's how bad the console versions were.
No. You know, you are right. I mean, from what I hear, the console versions are just like absolute unplayable nightmares. And
yeah, I was able to play the 60, 80 hours that I put into the prologue, just the prologue. Before you get to the splash screen that says that this is Cyberpunk.
Because
I just decided to do absolutely everything before I continued on, because I didn't realize that I was still in the prologue, honestly.
And, well, props to the open world game design that'll let you do that.
Yeah, you have the entire first chunk of the city, because there's all these different zones. You get one entire zone unlocked right from the get-go that you can do just everything in. And I spent forever doing that, but once I got into chapter one, I could have given you like 15 minutes of how broken and shitty it was within 20 minutes of playing chapter one. It just, from that point forward, it just went straight to shit. And it's sad, because I really enjoyed my time with that game up until that point. I was like, well, fuck, it's all broken now. And I've gone back to it a couple times, but it's fixed lots of the things that I was having issues with, and then I just found new areas where there were more fucking issues, and it's like, fuck me. This just... So I just quit. I'm still waiting for them to fix more. Maybe in a few more years it'll be good. Maybe.
Oh, well. Speaking of things that finally happen after a few years, God of War is finally coming to the PC.
I'm excited.
I like all the people on Twitter who are having meltdowns over that.
PlayStation fanboys are fucking idiots.
Yeah, they are. It is launching January 14th on Steam and Epic for $50. So it's still going to be pricey, but there you go.
Man, I can't wait for that. My PC can't handle it, but I'm going to buy it there anyways. So eventually I will have a better PC. So. Yep. I have Horizon Forbidden Dawn or whatever it is on my list as well,
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's a great game.
Yeah, sadly my PC can't handle that either. I have such a piece of shit PC. I don't understand.
But yeah, that's the news I have. Jacob, what do you have?
Well, we got a trailer for the Uncharted movie. Actually released today. it leaked yesterday. However, the official trailer came out today, because obviously they're just gonna like, fuck it, it's already leaked. So I haven't seen the actual trailer. I only saw the leak. The leak was pretty cool. It was definitely a recreation of one of the opening scenes from one of the games. There's a bunch of shit falling out of a cargo plane. And Nathan Drake is like struggling to make it back into the plane while also dealing with henchmen who are trying to kill him. It looked pretty cool. So anyways, it comes out, I think they said February 18th. So fingers crossed that it actually comes out this movie's been a long time coming. One of my friends from high school actually has like a memorial post every single year from when they initially announced the movie up on like the official Facebook page. And like they give like the release date of when it was supposed to be. And so like every single year he'll be like, oh man, that Uncharted movie was so good. So,
well, to kind of add on to that, I watched the full trailer and I've never played the games, but I did watch someone stream. Like I don't want to say the ending, but I watched them play the end portion of the last one. I forgot what it was called, and I can't describe it because I don't want to accidentally drop spoilers for people who haven't played it and are very much into that.
Dude, the game came out like how many years ago? I think we're past spoilers.
There's pretty
people
big
who are going to be getting into the franchise because of the movie.
The ending to the final one does have some pretty crazy spoilers.
Is anyone listening to us?
No, so but, let's spoil it.
Well, it doesn't matter. But anyways, like when I started watching the trailer, I honestly thought Mark Wahlberg was supposed to be Nathan Drake at first. And it wasn't until about halfway through that I realized, oh, Spider-Man is Nathan Drake.
What? Mark Wahlberg was originally cast as Nathan Drake, and now he's somebody else in the movie.
But that's how long it took for the movie to come out. Yeah. He was supposed to be Nathan Drake.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, and And the games, from what I hear and from what I've seen, are pretty solid. I mean, it's basically like, well, it's like, you know, I'm trying to think of, oh, that's right. Because I remember this argument came up back when people were starting to tiff over gender flipping characters for the sake of gender flipping. And I remember someone came up and said, well, what happens when you turn, you know, what if you take Indiana Jones and turn him into a woman? You get Lara Croft. What happens if you take Lara Croft, turn her back into a man? Nathan Drake. What happens if you take Nathan Drake, turn it back into a woman? A really shitty Tomb Raider reboot.
Yeah, you get Angelina
Jolie. But anyways, judging from the comments, like I said, I haven't played the games, but it seems like that, based upon what I've read, is that they've grabbed a lot of scenes and elements from across multiple games, and they're kind of combining them together. So if you're looking for like a direct, yeah. So if you're looking for like a direct I wouldn't say a direct interpretation, but like a loose adaptation of like the first game, you're not going to get it, because I think I know what scene you're talking about when what's his name gets dropped out the back of a cargo plane and he's trying to climb his way back.
Yeah, I think it's from the third game.
Yeah, because I remember there were people saying that there were very explicit scenes from the third game and the second game together, and they're like, well, this would be cool, but I'm trying to figure out how and why they're together. But it looks like Antonio Banderas. Cool. Yeah, Antonio Banderas is playing the big bad, and everyone seems to be happy with him. But the thing that's kind of amusing me is that apparently I don't even want to call it fan-made, but there was a Uncharted short that was released a couple years ago that featured Nate Fillion, Stephen Lang, and I completely forgot who the blonde woman was. But apparently that video is blowing the fuck up again, because everyone's going back to watch that after seeing the trailer for the movie.
Yeah, so. Spider-Man playing as Nathan Drake, that just sounds weird to me, because I just don't think he fits the look at all.
Rootbeater's saying that Nathan Fillion should have been Nathan Drake 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Also making fun of Jacob saying that the catering for the Sonic movie has been announced.
What? Oh, I missed it. I have to look that up now. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 catering.
Catering company, yeah. So what else do you have?
Oh, you bastards, I don't see anything about it.
Shut the fuck up.
I just dropped a link in chat for the Nate Fillion.
Oh, for the catering information?
No, for the Nate Fillion fan-made short, Uncharted.
Thank you. That's something I want to watch a lot more.
And also, in Stephen Lang, if you're not familiar with the name, you'll probably know him when you see him. He's been in a ton of fucking films.
He's the bad guy from Avatar, if you remember that film, which nobody does.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in a ton of films. You'll recognize him from something, and even if you don't, he's still like such a dead-on Sully.
Yeah, Aki, the alien Avatar, the blue Smurf one.
Yeah, I love to smell napalm in the morning.
I like that movie.
Gotta kill all them Smurfs because we need all that MacGuffin metal.
That's Robert Duvall in Apocalypse Now.
No, he had like a lame rip on the lines at some point, like when they were burning down the World Tree and everyone was dying. He grabs like his cup of coffee and he says that was a knockoff
meme for a while. Yeah,
yeah, and he said some knockoff copy of it.
Like,
I love the smell and burning indigenes in the morning. That's good coffee.
The Folgers commercial. What the fuck?
Best part of waking up. And then you hear like all this screaming and
Anyway, news. Jacob, what do you got?
Suda51 says that No More Heroes is no more. However, we may get a sequel to Shadows of the Damned. He recently got the rights back to the series. So some people think that we're going to be getting at least a port, like a nice HD port, maybe a sequel. But other than that, it's the only other big news is that he wants to make a badminton game.
Because
of course he does. Apparently he was a badminton champion back in high school, and like he never like stopped his love of it.
Okay.
Supposedly we're going to be getting a new Splinter Cell game.
Yeah, supposedly. I heard there's been rumors, but there's been rumors of that for a long time, so...
I don't know if I even want that anymore, because I see what they keep doing to every other franchise, and I'm just like, I don't want it to be a microtransaction-laden piece of shit, and I don't want it to be a fucking team battle game.
It's like the Half-Life syndrome. You're waiting so long for a sequel that when it's finally announced, you're just kind of have this very apprehensive...
It's like, you know, I don't know if maybe I really want it now, given the trends.
Well, seeing what they've done with, you know, Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed and shit, I don't...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You don't want me to get through the damn news.
Nope.
All right. So
now you know how Joe feels.
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl is going to be debuting at Super Smash Con this weekend. However, they've already banned Michelangelo from being in the tournament because he's super strong as shit.
Doesn't he have an infinite combo, too?
He has the ability to stall a match indefinitely by some move called the Party Dude Special, which can be canceled into a jump even if he's out of jumps. And then also, there's some sort of combo that he can use that eliminates opponents without even getting hit. Like, it's two moves, and then it just, like, knocks them the fuck out. So, until that balance issue gets fixed, Michelangelo is not allowed in official tournaments. So,
seem outright like he's broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not imbalance. That's straight-up breaking.
Yeah. Like, when you're like, oh, two moves, and now this character's out without being hit, that's bullshit.
Yeah. It's like, ask yourself this question. Can a 5-year-old insta beat you button bashing with this character? If the answer is yes,
probably.
That character is broken.
Hey, Jacob, you were talking about Suda. Raider Biz just mentioned some breaking news. In the past hour, NetEase Games has acquired Grasshopper Manufacture.
Oh.
I don't know what any of that means. I don't know either of those companies.
NetEase is, oh shit, who left? Who just fucking... They were just in the news.
Yakuza guy. Yakuza.
Yeah. Because he just left Sega.
To join NetEase.
Ooh. That's going to be crazy.
Now they just picked up Grasshopper. That's interesting.
Oh, my
God. That's interesting.
That's special.
And then, isn't that special?
Okay, the last bit of news I have, if you all shut the hell up...
Isn't Jacob special?
Come on, Jake. We're waiting on that news.
What the hell, dude?
You can now play Doom via Twitter. There's an account called Tweet2Doom, and you enter in commands via tweet.
That kind of sounds a little redundant.
Well, so it ends up becoming like a turn-based version of it. And somebody already beat, which one was it? Somebody beat E1M1 in 11 seconds using only two tweets.
What the fuck? How do people do this shit?
There is actually a video of it, and it's just
I'll give you a hint. They don't have lives.
The guy just makes this, I've seen it. Essentially, it's just a straight beeline to the exit. And yeah, he barely shoots anybody.
It's beautiful. But,
yeah, so he's speedrunning. A tweet-based version of Doom.
He's speed-tweeting, I guess.
Arnage says, speaking of Doom, Doom Eternal is getting a Horde mode update in a new update coming out October 26th. It is also update 6.66.
I'm so glad I bought that game when it came out to not play it because of the fucking pandemic.
Yeah.
Because I got stuck at home with my kids. And so they were always fucking around.
So anyway, well, should we dive into reviews?
Sure. Yeah, I'm out of news.
Good.
I say you should just traumatize your kids and just play it any goddamn way.
This is why I'm never letting you anywhere near my kids. No.
Well, just a quick game plug. Epic is currently giving away Among the Sleep for free for the next week.
Oh, I forgot about that crap.
I always forget to grab the weekly freebies from Epic anymore.
So do I.
And I'm just kind of pointedly mentioning this because Among the Sleep is a fantastic game. And very, very spoopy theme for the Halloween month.
Spoopy.
But basically, you basically play as a little toddler and you basically brave all this fucking nightmare fuel with your sentient best buddy teddy bear.
Yeah, that was a cool game.
Yeah, it's a really good game. So, yeah.
And it's free, so grab it.
Yep, and it's free for the next week.
Cool. So let's dive into reviews. First game to talk about tonight is Toy Soldiers HD, developed by Signal Studios, published by Accelerate Games, released October 21st on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $29.99. Toy Soldiers is a third-person action strategy game in which players command antique World War I toy soldiers in the trench-filled battlefields of Europe, deploy an exciting arsenal of guns, artillery, flamethrowers, tanks, and planes to defend your World War I toy dioramas, take direct control of individual units, or command the entire battlefield from above. Jacob, tell us about your time with Toy Soldiers HD.
Well, I bought this when it originally came out back in, I think it was 2010-ish. I think that's when it originally came out for the 360. And it was a lot of fun back then. And the update is a much prettier version of it. I'm not sure how much different it is between if it's just like a graphics update or if they like tweak the gameplay at all. It didn't seem all that different to me. But pretty much you have two versions. You have single player, which is more, I'd say it's more of a tower defense kind of thing. And you're pretty much just dealing with waves and waves of, you know, the Germans coming after you. And you just have to build stuff. And they could be like machine gun things. They could be mortar rounds. They could be like bigger bomb things. There's also a sniper tower that you could take control of, which I don't know if that was in the original. I might have just straight up missed it back then. But that was pretty satisfying, just sniping people too. And so you're pretty much using that to defend your base. You get money for the more enemy soldiers you kill, and so you update or repair your units. And then you just hope that by the end of it, when like the big bad of that level comes in, that you've updated everything enough and you've got the correct placements to bomb the crap out of your enemies. Now, if you want to, you can view the battle from above and just let the AI run everything, and you just manage, you know, what gets updated, what gets repaired, what gets built, that kind of stuff. Or you can take control of the units individually, which sometimes that felt kind of necessary because, you know, if I'm just running the machine gun by myself, I could just mow down like an entire run, like, you know, entire row of the enemy, for which then the AI takes control of everything else. And the AI is fine. It does a good job. Once I remembered how everything worked, the game was fairly easy, but also I was kind of playing it on like the easier normal mode with it. So
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, because honestly, I was there for more of the fun aspect than anything. Now, whenever you beat a level, you do get, like, I think it was like a survival mode version of it. I thought the original, like, you had to blow through the whole campaign first to get it. But this one, as soon as you just finish a level, you get to unlock other modes, which, you know, are increasing in difficulty or more of just waves and waves and waves of bad guys. Honestly, the single player, like, that's where it was for me. I had a shitload of fun doing that, and it's just, you know, like, what it's else?
The toy soldiers, you know, that you know and remember. Yeah. This is
it was a lot of fun, and it was just, as I said, like, you know, I don't recall the sniper tower from the original, but it was, you know, it operates like a store, like a natural, like, you know, standard placement with zooming and, you know, shooting everybody and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, honestly, so as I said, single player was pretty satisfying. I didn't get to do too much multiplayer. I don't know if it just, like, there wasn't anybody on or the servers weren't on yet.
Well, considering it just released today, I'm guessing that.
Yeah, but
yeah.
But back in the day, it was, you either got to be the British or the Germans, and then with that, you were you not only had to defend your base, but you also had to attack the enemy bases with it. I remember back in the day, that was kind of fun, but I've always been more of a single player kind of guy for it. It looks beautiful. I love the audio for it, and it's, you know, it remains family friendly, you know, even though you're bombing the crap out of your enemies or like shooting a ton of people. All you ever see is like plastic bits going everywhere. There's no blood in the game. So it has a very stylized look, and I do appreciate that. It really stands out from from a lot of these kind of games. And it's nice to see that this got an update. How much does this?
$30. It is $29.99, so it's a little bit pricier than the original. But of course, this does include all of the original DLC and brand new levels. So it's got all the content and some new stuff.
I hadn't gotten to the DLC part of it yet. But yeah, no, if it includes everything, $30 is totally worth it. Yeah, I definitely recommend that you pick this one up.
Cool. All right, I'm going to make you sit and listen to one as I do an email review. Next game to talk about is The Eternal Cylinder, developed by Ace Team, published by Good Shepherd Entertainment, released September 30th on Xbox One, PS4, and Epic Games Store for $29.99. Wondrous tale of stubborn persistence in a stranger than fiction world. Serlina wrote this one, and this is what she's got to say. Hello, SML lovelies. It's your girl, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing The Eternal Cylinder for the Xbox One. Let's get on to the review. The Eternal Cylinder pulls no punches starting out. You awaken as Trebum, a tiny little creature that was sure to be created for giggles in someone's spore world once upon a time. However, you're in danger of being crushed to death by this giant, all-encompassing cylinder that's slowly rolling towards you with ill intent, that intent being your death, of course. So it's time to run for your life. You pick up bits of the story along the way, and when you get a breather, you rapidly realize that you're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Ah, like the Wizard of Oz. You guys remember that timely movie? The world of the Eternal Cylinder is absolutely bonkers, almost nightmare fuel, but not quite. Quite gorgeous in a completely unnerving way. The world is so alien and so foreign that I'm concerned for the mind that thought of it. I wonder what blood price the Eldritch Ones demanded from the person who gave life to this concept. I don't normally talk about the graphics so early in a review, but other than the cylinder that's looming over you menacingly, you can't help but look at the world in wonderment and fear. I literally wanted to stop and just take in the scenery, but alas, the looming cylinder thwarted that desire. Devs definitely put the Unreal Engine through its paces and then some on the way the game looks. Let's talk about the story before I get swept away. The story starts out real slim with only one thought in mind, survive. Once you get that down, you'll learn from a really awesome and very present narrator that as a Trebum, you are incredibly stubborn and you have to find other Trebums to form a community and do what you can to slow down the cylinder because you can't stop it. There are these towers that have been built conveniently throughout the world that make it so where the cylinder can't move, but once you're out of range of those towers, the cylinder overpowers them and the chase is on again. Once you reach one of these pause points, you're free to explore and see what you can find, but the cylinder isn't the only thing you need to worry about. The baddies in this game are numerous, dangerous, and perfectly willing and able to eat you. However, if you get too close, they'll give you a warning. Starting out, you can't really take them on, so it's best to give them wide berth, which is really hard because they're so compelling and you want to know more about them. I was approaching what looked like a giant flesh egg, and it growled at me. I stopped in my tracks because eggs don't growl, but upon closer examination, the egg had teeth. Eggs don't have teeth. I made a tactical retreat. The teeth disappeared. Let's get to the gameplay. That might be one of my favorite written reviews to date.
Eggs don't have teeth.
I made a tactical retreat. The core of the game is survival, but it's got plenty of exploration and puzzle solving mixed in as well. You have to monitor your food and water levels. In order to get food and water, you must suck up the various plants around that give those supplies. Game also features mutations for your Trebum. If you eat the right food or the right enemy, you get additional powers. Very first one you get is powerful legs to jump, and it's essential to your continued existence. After that, go nuts. You can get mutations that give you extended inventory space, alter your shape, even mutations that give you the ability to fight back against some of those baddies. Plus, if you find the game is too easy, you can make it more difficult yourself by enabling certain challenges in the settings. I don't know why you would do that, but to each their own. The Eternal Cylinder is available right now to buy on Xbox One and other platforms for $29.99, and should you buy it, this is a buy it with no questions or hesitation. Yes, the alien world is disconcerting and captivating, and you'll want nothing more than to see all the wonders this world has to offer. That one sounds awesome.
Sounds pretty cool.
You want to know what else is cool?
Ice.
Retro Highway, developed and published by Gearhead Games, released October 22nd on Xbox One for $5.99, hit the retro highway and returned to the days of 16-bit blast processing and pure arcade fun. Retro Highway is a throwback game aiming to combine the accessibility of modern titles with the high skill challenge and charming aesthetics of old. Jacob, tell us about Retro Highway.
So, yeah, pretty much it is very much a retro racer. And you're on a motorcycle, which as you go through all these levels, you have to, you know, you can pull off tricks, which is essentially just jumping off ramps, collecting coins. And during this, you have to avoid cars, pick up power-ups, which, you know, one of them's a shield, one of them is like a coin magnet, and the other one just, you know, it's like a coin multiplier. The shield one's pretty handy because whatever damage that your motorcycle already has, it repairs that. But of course, as you keep progressing through these levels, which the only way to progress is complete all these objectives that are, you know, pretty much once you complete them, you get a bunch of coins. And the objectives are like, you know, do 8 ramp jumps, collect, you know, or actually don't collect coins for like, I think it's like 800 meters or something like that. They vary, and the more objectives you clear, you get new ones, and they're much harder, to the point where they eventually become, in my opinion, they become kind of impossible unless you start using continues, which of course eat away at the coins that you were trying to collect anyway. But you can't unlock levels without, having completed the objective. So it's just, it's an arcade game that has grinding in it. That being said, the controls are great. Like, you never felt cheap. It never felt like bullshit. I mean, you know, everyone is eventually going to make the mistake of, you know, taking a ramp jump and landing right into a billboard or like the roof of the cave, which by the way are achievements in the game, for having done it. And the graphics look fantastic. I mean, it has a very retro feel. It reminds me of the Dual Test Drive 2, which is a very old arcade race. I don't know if it actually got an arcade version, but I used to play it on my dad's old Macintosh computer way back in the day. And the graphics remind me a lot of that game, and so it was nice. It was a very nice blast from the past for me on that. But that being said, you know, as you complete the objectives, you unlock more areas, and it's, you know, it varies. You know, you start off with a nice little countryside. There's a desert one. There's one set on the moon, which has, of course, because it's on the moon, the gravity's different, which has its own challenges to it, which I really appreciated that one. That one was a lot of fun because it then had to start, like, then you had to start thinking of how the gravity was going to affect, you know, by turning, by doing jumps, that kind of stuff. There's also downtown stuff, and, you know, the traffic gets more ridiculous. Each of these levels gets more progressively worse, or not worse, but like more difficult.
More populated, and, more twisty.
Right. Like more hazards. And so, you know, you definitely need to upgrade your bike because your bike is the only thing that's going to be able to take all the damage. But of course, if you just crash right into the back of a car or like right into, like a roadside worker, you know, you're going to get screwed up. So, as I said, there's a lot of grinding to this game. I didn't mind it. Like, by the end of the first night,
I think there's a little too much grind, and like, the achievements in the game to buy all the bikes and to collect 100,000 coins at once. Come on. Like, that's unnecessary padding. And I love this game, but that's unnecessary padding.
I didn't mind it that much.
I think it's just a little too much.
I don't know. I was fine with what I was playing. I mean, I'm definitely in for the long haul on this one. How much did you say this one cost?
$5.99.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, no shit, right? This thing's only $6. Yeah. What the fuck?
I could believe that. Honestly, like, if this thing was $15, I'd still be like, all right, yeah, cool. Like, do it up. But yeah, for $5.99, you definitely owe it to yourself. Like, if you love, like, retro racers.
If you're a fan, like, Super Hang-On, stuff like that.
Yeah. Or oh, God.
OutRun.
Thank you. That was actually what I was about to say. Yeah, if you're a fan of OutRun, this is definitely right up your alley. So I highly recommend this game. This one's a lot of fun, and I'm hoping it gets all the attention it deserves.
Cool beans. All right. Well, you were done, Jacob. We will let you get going. Woo. You could go shit some more.
Thank God.
Any final words?
Nah, I don't like you enough.
Okay. Next game to talk about is YouTuber's Life 2, developed by Uplay Online, published by Razer Games, released October 19th on Steam for $29.99, Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $39.99. Become the best YouTuber in the world. Collaborate with legendary celebrities, explore the city of fame, find hidden stories, and follow trends to create viral content. Live the life of an emerging superstar. Fame, fortune, and fans are waiting for you. Ian, are you the best YouTuber in the world?
No, and okay. I doubt I ever will be.
How's the game?
Well, to be brutally honest, I went into this game with purely unadulterated bad faith. Because at the surface level, everything about this game just sounded pretentiously stupid as hell. But, you know, so it's like, okay, well, at least I'll try to have some fun with it. So I went in and I tried to make like the douchiest looking character possible, which is not remotely close to possible. Because all the character options will make you look like every generic cookie cutter trend setting internet personality you've ever seen. So the best I could do was like a hippie hobo beach bum Jesus.
That works.
And even then, it took a surprisingly amount of time to put that together. But, well, after I started noodling around with it, if you kind of get rid of the negative connotations of the whole YouTuber's life thing, everything, it has a lot in common with, with sort of like lifestyle games, life sim games, sort of like Stardew Valley. You basically have like an amount of energy that you exert while performing various activities around, you know, the locale, and you're given various tasks to do, long-term goals to try to accomplish. But the only issue I had, and, you know, maybe this is just my perception of it, but it felt like you're always under the gun to do 50 million things at once, but you're only able to get in like 3, if not 4, if you're lucky. I mean, I suppose in a manner of speaking, you can kind of play the game at your own pace, but with some of the more long-term goals, there were like, you know, for example, I had to reach like, I think it was like 10,000 viewers before I could go to the in-game version of what is Comic-Con. And it's like, well, you know, I kind of like to, you know, play the game at my own pace and try to, you know, visit these people, play around with some of the video making mechanics and try to figure out how various certain things work. And I will also admit that I did not play the first one. And I kind of got the distinct impression there was a lot of information that the game assumed I was taking for granted because I did play the first one. You know, like, for example, like there's a lot of these funky icons popping up here and there, and I had no idea what the fuck they were. And people in my chat, well, because I was streaming it, would be like, oh, that's this, that's that, that's this, that's that. You know, whenever I was like completely clueless about what should have been an otherwise, you know, quote unquote obvious mechanic or something, like it, the game wouldn't tell me what it is because I'm assuming it probably figured I played the first game. But yeah, you're basically trying to become a YouTube personality, and you do that by playing various mini games where, like, you know, and you have to try to incorporate the latest trends. And every game day, there is a list of trends, topics that are popular, and you have to try to figure out how to create content around the most popular topics in order to get the most views. And the video editing soft, you know, mini game for putting your, you know, compiling your videos and stuff is actually kind of nifty. I mean, there's like an interesting little puzzle element to it. But like I said, it's kind of funky because it feels like you're always under the gun to get so much stuff done. It's like, well, you know, at first your camera can't do anything at night because you need to get yourself a night lens. It's like, well, how am I going to get, you know, a lens so I can film at night? It's like, well, you got to buy it from the store. Well, how much does it cost? It costs X hundred amount of dollars. Okay, well, how am I going to X hundred amount of dollars? Well, you need to pump out videos. But unfortunately, you can only probably put out like 2 videos a day, given how little energy you have. So you can do little tasks and jobs. It's like, okay, well, I'll do the tasks and jobs. And then you have to figure out how to fucking accomplish that. For the most part, they're pretty easy. The ones that I picked up, I think, either fell into pick up a package from location A and deliver it to person B. And the only time I had a problem with that was when the person I was delivering to didn't have a set location and I couldn't figure out how to read the map properly in order to find him. So I literally wasted an entire game day running around the city nonstop trying to find this fucking bitch to get her goddamn package. Because she doesn't work at any of the stores. And I began thinking, okay, is this like, you know, Stardew Valley, where the characters have like a set schedule and they're just kind of wandering around town? So I pull up in the map and I see her icon on one of the metro stations, because there's three sections of the city and you can fast travel to each section using the little, you know, the little subway system. It's like, okay, well, I go over to the metro station. She's not there. It's like, okay, well, maybe I have to go into the metro station. So I go into the metro station, the map pops up for the quick travel, and she's still technically where I am. And it's like, well, she's not here, so how do I give her a fucking package? I'm literally wasting daylight here that I could be using to film about fucking the latest, greatest cat meme and shit. And I'm not joking. That's an actual thing. But I don't, like, I guess, like I said, you can play it at your pace, but I still feel like there's a lot of pressure. And you know, and not to offend or insult anybody out there that actually has this, it almost feels like a very good representation of what it feels like to have ADHD, because there's so much shit going on. You can't organize it. It's like, oh, I got to go do this. Oh, wait, no, I got to go do that. Oh, shit, I got to go do this. And then all of a sudden you look at the in-game version of Instagram and you find out it's like, oh, instead of spending $500 for a ticket to PlayCon, I just have to find three random dudes around the city and
blow them. What?
That's exactly where I was going with it too.
And take a picture with each of them, and I can get the ticket for free. Oh, but wait, no, I got to go get this and that and blah blah blah. Da, 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 da. Oh wait, no, I got to get my fucking video. Oh shit, I got to get some food so I can edit my video so I can put it online before the day is over. Because once the day is over, the topics that video is about will no longer be trending and they won't be popular. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's like fucking nighttime and you can't film anything. And because it's nighttime, you can't take pictures. So you screw yourself out of getting the ticket. You screw yourself out of editing your video. The video is completely worthless because the next day those topics are no longer popular. And you kind of see where I'm going with this. And it's like, you almost want to rip your fucking hair out trying to keep on top of everything. And it's like, man, if this is what it takes to become a fucking YouTuber, I'm cool. But if you can multitask and you can keep that shit sorted out, I can see how this could be a very appealing game. You know, and also that's another thing. Like, if I went back and looked over the VOD, you could probably make a drinking game out of how many times I ran back to my apartment to make a comment like, oh shit, I should totally upgrade my apartment. Then completely forget about it like 3 seconds later. Because
I've already updated
my to-do list with like 9 other things that just came out of nowhere. And it's, I'm trying to think, like, thematically, like, I almost feel like, I almost wish it was a little more tongue-in-cheek. But it plays things just straight enough that it's like, it feels like it's kind of elbowing and winking at you. Like, hey, check out this new game for the Nikosoft Zbox One, called Deity of War, You know, and it's like, well, obviously it's God of War for the Xbox. And it's like,
which isn't real. Little,
yeah. I mean, like, and you could tell, like, the references are really blatant.
Yeah.
Not quite, you know, but like, they kind of lack a little bit of imagination. Like, they could have gone a little tongue in cheekish to make it a little more humorous without it being, you know, mean spirited or anything like that. You know, they could add a little edge of comedy there. You know, like, for example, the Comic-Con in the game is called PlayCon. Yay.
Yeah.
Cool. And I already forgot what the Sony PlayStation was called. It was like some really weird, like Sun Station or something doofy like that. But yeah. And then I remember, like, because I think I streamed it for like probably like 4 hours. And then at the end, I delivered a package to the character who worked at the game store. And then she gave me a friend mission. And then I suddenly remembered, oh, yeah, there's friendship levels with everyone in this town.
Jeez.
I completely forgot about that because I'm too busy running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to be the bestest YouTuber in the fucking world.
Oh, geez. Well, the game is hanging out at $30 on Steam, $40 on console. What are your thoughts on this one?
Ooh. I would give it a deny it, just because I can think of other games and of a similar genre that are far cheaper with as much, if not more, content.
No.
Like, I think Stardew Valley itself is on sale on PC and Switch for like $15. And also, as a quick side note, I did play the pre-release version. I forgot what the special thing was, but there was certain content that was not in that version that is in the full release. Like, and I think it was pretty much like all the famous YouTube personality characters you can run into.
Yeah, that was held until none release of whom day,
I've heard of,
except PewDiePie.
Yeah, none of whom we've heard of except for PewDiePie. So, like, in the full game, if you're wandering around, you could run into these famous YouTubers. And I'm not sure, like, what kind of effect they have, or if it's just, you know, lip service cameo type stuff. But for $30 and $40 respectively, I would honestly give it a pass. I mean, I wouldn't touch it unless it's on sale for less than 20.
That makes sense.
Like I said, a lot of other games I've played in that genre are roughly ballparking around that price point. So,
yeah, that said, the game did surprise me. It looked a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah, I will give it that. Because once I kind of realized
drop it, using bitch!
Style, you know, the energy system, like friendship stuff, if you were, and like I said, I was trying to play it in the spirit with which I thought the game was trying to push me. But like, maybe if I just kind of took a step back, took a deep breath, and was a little more deliberate about my shit, I might have gotten a little more out of it.
Yeah. Anyway, shout out to Trivium Champ, who just dropped 15 biddies in chat. Thank you so much, my man. Thank you for coming by, and thank you for the raid. But moving on, next game to talk about is The Good Life.
More biddies.
11 more biddies. Thank you, Trivium Champ. Always good seeing you. How was the stream? What were you playing? I wonder if it was it Rock? No, it wasn't Rock Band. I don't think you were playing
Rock Band. Dropping bits.
I love that sound effect. That is still one of my favorite sound effects that George did. He's so good.
The Wet Pancakes is also pretty good too.
Wet Pancake. Where is it? Let me play that
one. Dropping bits.
With a couple more biddies from Trivium Champ.
Wet Pancakes.
Wet Pancakes indeed, George. But yes, next game to talk about is The Good Life, developed by White Owls Inc., published by Playism, released October 15th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $29.99.
Drop it, bitch!
16 more biddies, thank you. enjoy everyday life while solving a murder mystery in Rainy Woods, known as the happiest town in the world, in this all-new debt repayment RPG. Aki, tell us about The Good Life. Goddamn hellhole.
Yep.
I was going to say, debt repayment RPG sounds like Animal Crossing.
Yep. Yep.
A little more mature of an Animal Crossing.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. You play as a news reporter, a photographer specifically, who has been sent here because you owe the company you work for $30,000.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know why. That is never specified. I assume she got really drunk and totaled one of their news cars. Just an assumption based on the character that we are presented with.
It was just a peach.
Yeah, yeah. She talks about how,
fucking
how this little tiny town that has like 20-ish people in it is a hellhole every like 5 seconds, really. I mean, she just constantly is talking about how shitty this place is. it's just this little old fucking town. There's nothing fucking there. It's just a nothing and a nowhere place. It's a little quaint area. It's the place you would expect all your great-grandparents to have lived one time in their life. And you're there to uncover the secret, the deep, dark secrets of this little sleepy fucking town. Because, you know, that's where you're going to find the seedy underbelly of the entire continent. The little idyllic town that has 25 fucking people in it. Oh, yeah. you know that's where all the drug kingpins are. You know that's where the mafia is and all that other, yeah, mm-hmm. Fucking, that might be why she, you know, owes them so much money, because they keep sending her places and she has to pay for them on her own.
Drop now it, bitch!
Goddamn nowheres. But there is something special about this town.
You know what else is special? Trivium Champ dropping more biddies. Thank you, Trivium. Yay. And thank you for the sub as well. Always good getting more subs. We're love seeing those emotes. Drop those
biddies
wet pancakes.
On the titties. It is fantastic.
Anyways. Drop those wet pancakes.
Wet pancakes!
So there is a secret that you find out the very first night you're there. Everyone turns into animals when the moon is full, and the moon is always full there, no matter how many days you're there. It's always a full moon, and they turn.
So it is Animal Crossing.
Pretty much, yeah. And you are eventually get a potion and become a cat in order to further your claims. And then immediately after that, you are convinced by someone that you were just really high, that you didn't turn into a cat, you were just really high, and that seeing everyone else as cats and dogs was just how stressful you were. And yet you can proceed to change into a cat literally at any point you want from then forward without ever getting high again. Well, no. And somehow your character just believes that they were high that one time, but then don't even attempt to explain how they literally turn into a cat on a regular basis. What?
I mean, it just happens, right?
Yeah, it's everyone does it. This is the world of the Animorphs. That's all. God, I really just
drop
myself.
It, bitch!
Oh, that hurts.
It's like Animal Crossing After Dark.
Yeah, kind of. But in this, you can take pictures and upload them to Flamingo, I think is the name of the website, and every like you get on it gives you 1 cent, and it takes forever to get anything, and you might not get any, but it has some keywords, and if you take a picture of something that's one of the hashtags that they have, you're more likely to get a lot of, you know, likes on it and make more money.
So it's YouTuber's life.
Yeah, pretty much. Matter of fact, it's about that good at getting at how you can obtain money too, I think. Just fucking, you can sit there and it's like, okay, you get 1 cent for every like, and you can upload up to like 20 pictures or something a day max, and then you have to delete each individual fucking one to put new ones up. Not that I'm, you know, annoyed by that or not. and if you take multiple pictures of the same object, those other pictures aren't likely to get any votes for obvious reasons. So it's like you really just have to spend your time just doing that over and over and over and over and over to get money, because everything costs so fucking much here. Like, you're looking at one tomato, $3. Then no. 1 pound is, you know, more likely, but no, $3 for one tomato. And in this, you have to keep track of, oh God, just stick with me, folks, your health, which isn't your hit points. That's something different. Your health is based on whether you've been eating healthy or not, and if you've been out in the rain or not, and if it gets to zero, you're likely to become sick. And if you're sick, it costs $100+ to get fixed, because of fucking course it does. Even though you're only making like $20 a day at absolute most, you know, if you get sick, it's $100, which is, you know, in the U.S., that's pretty good.
That's really good. My fucking copay was $200 for when I went to the ER.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, man, when I went and had a talk with my sleep doctor to get on sleeping pills, cost me $300. So yeah, that's not bad. It doesn't help that you only get like $15-$20 a day at max, though. And then, you know, all the food's expensive and all the booze are expensive. And if you actually drink a lot of alcohol on a regular basis, you can become an alcoholic. which also needs to be treated, which is funny. And there's a big map, but you have your health to worry about. You have your hit points to worry about, which they call stamina, even though it's not stamina because you have an actual stamina bar too. But that's not called stamina. I don't know what the fuck it's called. They don't actually tell you what half of this shit is called or what it does. I had to figure it out eventually. Because it took them a long time to explain this shit to me. And this shit was in play from day fucking one. And I've been in the game for like 4 or 5 weeks at this point in game time. And some things were just explained to me not too long ago. So it's like, fuck. So you have this big map that you can explore. But it takes you forever to get anywhere because you're walking or running. But if you're running, you can only run for about 5 seconds, and then you have to stop because you're running out of energy. And then there's bees that'll attack you because bees are little assholes in this, and they'll get rid of your health. And then it's like, oh, you need this type of camera for this thing that we want you to do. And you need this type of lens. Oh, it'll only cost you 2,000. Fuck you. Just fuck you. No. You can buy used ones, which are cheaper, but they also break, and then you have to fucking repair them. I know, because my camera has broken 3 times, and it costs $30 each time to fix. That's almost $100 that I have wasted, which took me weeks to make. Yeah. And then, you know, to eat in the game, you can either go to a restaurant where a meal costs like $12, $13, which is a little expensive, but whatever, not too bad. Or you can buy seeds, which again can cost anywhere from $1 to like $4, because fucking seeds, and it's just one seed. That's per fucking seed. And then you can go and you can plant it, and now it's become a farming simulator too, because fucking why not? Why not make my misery that much harsher? And when they grow, which takes a couple days, and you don't have to take care of it or anything. You just plant that bitch, and then you just go to sleep over and over and over because you don't want to do anything else in the fucking game because it's driving you nuts. And then eventually, poof, they're there. And you walk over, and you can harvest them, and then you get 5 of whatever the fuck you just planted. Yay! That's not a lot. But, you know, hey, you might have to eat. Because the main thing you're going to be eating is potatoes. Realistically speaking, you're going to eat a lot of fucking potatoes in this game, and that's pretty much it. Which prevents you from starving, which is good. It gives you 20 points into your I'm not starving meter, which goes obviously up to 100, unless you have a toothache, and then it drops down to half, because apparently a toothache hurts your stomach or something. I don't know.
No, you don't want to eat when you have a toothache, so.
It's a fucking baked potato. You can mash it up and there you go. You don't have to chew it. Problem solved. Fucking get over it. But, you know, so you're going to be mostly eating that shit, and it just, you consume one potato, and you might have to make this meal like 3 or 4 or 5 times in an in-game day. So it's like all the food that you're making quickly runs out. You can go and buy more crap, but after you buy all of one item, it takes a few days before they get more in. And then, you know, you can open gates throughout the community. Certain areas, I don't know what makes some gates openable and why some aren't. I don't get it. I don't care. But you have to pay to open those gates, because there's someone else's property, so it's only right to give them tribute to open a fucking gate for you so you can go out into a field or be able to walk down this road that shouldn't be gated off by any individual in the first fucking place because it's a fucking road and it's not to their goddamn house. But it costs like $10 for each one of those individually.
And then, like, a lot of things require money in this game.
Yes, it does. This game is very built for, like, after you have a lot of money, you're going good on this. At the beginning, it sucks so much ass. Because it's like, I haven't even said all the things that you need to do. That's still.
Well, we only have like so much show.
I know. Jesus Christ! Everything in here costs so much money, and you make so little. It is. Oh, I like everything except for all the money making and spending crap. If they got rid of all that shit, I would enjoy this game significantly more, because taking pictures and running around as an animal and finding the different items, because you can pick up some seeds here and some other items to help you craft crap, like drugs. You craft a lot of drugs in this. It's great. So, you know, finding that stuff and bringing them to somewhere to have them crafted, that stuff's fun. Going around, seeing the place, that's fun. Have to spend your time making money and then spending all of it on like one or two items because everything's so overly fucking priced. Sucks so much ass. That is the worst part of this, is it could be great, but this, that one thing is just, makes it really, really hard to get into, because it's just all-encompassing. It's like, you can't be like, okay, well, I just don't want to spend anything. No, you have to. No. You have to buy things constantly, and it's sad. It's really sad.
Well, you don't have to buy this game, but at $30, should we?
I would say get this on sale if you're going to get it, and even then, it's hard to recommend it just because the money aspect really just kind of ruins the fun. But if you're used to games like that, fucking go for it, because otherwise, the game is great.
Cool. All right, well, next game to talk about is Despot's Game, Dystopian Army Builder, developed by Confa Games, published by Tiny Build, released October 14th on Steam Early Access for $14.99. Despot's Game is a roguelike tactics with turbocharged battles. Build a team and sacrifice the heck out of them to rush through enemies and other players. Ian, tell us about Despot's Game, Dystopian Army Builder.
Okay, well, I mean, for the most part, it is an army builder, and I don't like it's labeled as a roguelike, but I feel like it's a more low-key puzzle game, because like the big trick is trying to figure out how to build the army, because or how to build your army, how to equip them, which various classes, you know, make good combinations and stuff, how to set them up in the field. And in a manner of speaking, but basically the general gist is, like, you're in a dungeon and you're trying to find your way out. You know, the layout will change. You have to pretty much fight certain monsters in every single room, and eventually you'll run into a boss, and once you beat him, you drop to another floor. And I do believe every three floors you get to a new, as they phrase it, biome. So, like, the aesthetics are different, the enemies are different, it's a little bit step up in difficulty, but...
fucking yeah!
Yeah, like, there's a lot... Let's see, I'm trying to think of how the best way to put it. There isn't a whole lot of agency when it comes to the fights themselves. I mean, basically, all you can really do is equip your guys, set them up on the field as best as you can see fit, hit the button, and see if they're going to win or just get completely annihilated. I mean, you don't control or micromanage anything about the fight itself. So,
you know, it got annihilated, all the biddies in the cup, when Carnage gifted a sub to Thimber.
Oh, snap.
Biddies just went flying. They're all over the place.
Man.
Thank you, Carnage. Man,
who's gonna clean that up?
No one.
Oh, damn.
It's the mess.
Way to be that guy.
The fucking mess.
Man, all over the place. All those bits. Just everywhere.
Anyway.
Anyways. Yeah, so a lot of it is figuring out, you know, and of course there's mutations, air quotes, mutations, which are basically perks that can help out your entire army or a specific class, because there are different classes. You have like your melee guys, you have your tanky guys, you have your magey guys, you have your cultist guys, and they're interesting because once you get enough of those guys, they start summoning giant tentacle demons.
I've seen like the pinch. I don't know where this is going.
And it's kind of nifty because as you're building it up, like if you can get multiple people of the same class with different weapons, that sounds a little more technical than it is. But for example, like, you know, let's just take defenses, for example. You get a guy with a sword. You get a guy with Excalibur, which is basically a sword and a stone, and the stone is still stuck on the sword.
Yeah, that was funny. I love the character designs of some of the jobs.
Yeah. And there's like a lightsaber. It looks like Kylo Ren's lightsaber from the Star Wars trilogy. So if you get like three different swordsmen, that'll activate a certain class ability that all of them can use. You know, conversely, you know, like if you have like three different tank types, they'll be able to do something. Three different healers, their heals will be a lot more effective. You know, the more cultists you have, the more powerful the Cthulhu tentacles are. The more mages, the more, you know, damaging their spells are, you know, that kind of thing. And like I said, it you don't really micromanage the fights themselves. So a lot of it is just very trial and error. And on the upside, like once you kind of like figure out, I don't want to call it the meta, but once you figure out like a valid strategy, that could carry you a pretty good distance. But the only problem is that like eventually you're going to hit the brick wall. And you have to figure out, is it the makeup? Is it the fact that they're just too weak? Do I need to invest in more of these mutations to make them stronger? Do I need to invest more in the store so I can get access to more stronger weaponry? Because that was the first thing that like really changed the game for me. Because at first I was just trying to play and level them as is. And I was having a rough go of it. Then eventually I'm like, fuck it. And I started just putting all of my fucking money into the store. And then all these like weapons of mass destruction started popping up, and it's like, whoa, okay. so it's in a way, and it's all by design too. So the developers are fully aware of, like, you know, so it's kind of like trying to figure out the best way to cheese the shit out of, you know, out of what you have available. And on top of that, there's like a food mechanic involved too. So it's like, well, what if I just sit here and run around this one dungeon and just grind everything out and try to level everybody? It's like, well, you could, but every time you travel to a room, each unit of your army eats a unit of food. So you have to constantly keep your food reserves up. So, you know, and I found like at least early on, like a comfortable number was like about 10 to 12 people. Because every time you go to a different room, that's 10 to 12 units of food that goes, you know, poof. And if you dawdle around too long, they'll start to starve. And when they starve, their health starts deteriorating as you continue moving. But the game in and of itself, like a lot of people like it. I feel like this is definitely one of those games where you're either going to be really into it or you're really not.
Yeah. And it's fun to watch stream, though, just because it throws all of your viewers in there.
Yeah. Yep. And there is Twitch integration. And at the moment, all it really does is name the little humans after your Twitch viewers, which on one hand, you know, it's kind of cool. But, you know, it's still in early access, so there might even be more to it. Because, like, when I heard that there was Twitch integration, like the first game that popped into my mind was Domina, where the viewers had a lot more direct and indirect effect on what happens in the game. And looking at this, it is entirely possible that developers could implement much more interactive elements for the viewers. You know, like if you're having a really rough go of it, you know, maybe there'd be some option for, you know, the viewers could be like, you know, it's like, shit, you know, vote for what you want to happen. Give them extra 10 coins, extra 10 food, fuck them and kill off a third of the army, you know, something weird like that. You know, there's a lot of potential for it, but like right now, like I said, it's, you're either going to be into it or you're not. I mean, for me, I feel, and there's different game modes too. That's right. I only played like the standard normal one. I didn't quite mess around, but there's like all sorts of random the game variables that you can introduce. There's like hard mode, there's an easier mode if you want to be a little more casual about it. I do believe that there is multiplayer, like you can pit your army against someone else's army and just see how it goes. But a lot of that stuff you have to unlock just by playing the game. So it kind of depends on your determination. And like there is a cult following of people that like this style of game, and they're already copying the classic Soulsborne philosophy of get good to anyone that has a complaint about it.
Oh, and it's geez, like, well, gotta love that mindset.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I can kind of understand how some people would be turned off to it, but like, don't say get good in a game where probably about 75% of it is determined by RNG. But yeah, for me, I'm kind of fascinated by that puzzle aspect. Like, you know, like what can I do to make these guys more hardcore? What can I do to get them to survive? Cause you know, and it's one of those things where either what you do is going to work or it's not. And it's very easy to see when it clearly doesn't, because there's no, you know, scraping by the skin of your teeth. It's like you either fairly decisively win or you get completely fucking annihilated. And in the standard game mode, if you get annihilated, you start from the beginning, period.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's an interesting game, but it is kind of in falls into that acquired taste category. So I'm trying to think, how much is it? $15?
It's sitting at $15 right now. 15. It is in early access. They say that the price will increase after the early access period, but they haven't decided how much. So if you're interested in getting in on this, $15 might be the price point to jump in. But what are you thinking at 15?
I would give it a tentative try. It. No, I mean, I would say, like, if it sounds like it's in your wheelhouse, go for it. If you're kind of on the fence about how you feel about it, like, I would say, like, look up a Let's Play video on YouTube or go to Twitch and see if someone's streaming it, just to see if that's something you really want to burn $15 on. Because if the price is going to go up on the official release, chances are I would probably say a tentative try it only for the people that are definitively interested.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. That is it for you. Were you going to stick around or did you want to head out and do your thing?
I can stick around.
Cool. All right. Well, next game to talk about is Tangle Tower, developed and published by SFB Games. It released October 6th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. Unravel a thrilling mystery by exploring a strange and twisted mansion, discovering curious clues, interrogating peculiar suspects, and solving unique puzzles. Will you be able to uncover the secrets of Tangle Tower? Aki, did you uncover the secrets of Tangle Tower?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't that hard.
Okay.
Was the tower really that tangled to begin with?
Yes. Yes, it is, actually.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Well, tell us about it.
You play as Detective Grimoire, a completely incompetent fuckwit at the best of days, I'm pretty sure, and his much more reasonable assistant, Sally, because one of them has to have a normal name, I guess. And you've entered this weird little house, this manor, this mansion, that they say is like two towns that are held together by this building, except for it's literally just one building and there's no town ever at all. It never was, so don't get that. But you go there because there was a murder of a young woman. And you're there to figure it out, because apparently they decided the worst detective on the planet is the one for this rich family. Well, rich set of families, actually. There's two families living in this house. Not that I remember who either of them fucking are anymore, because I think one was the Pointers and the other was a someone the fuck else. And then before them was the Remingtons or something, or Rembrandts. I don't know.
A someone the fuck else. That's a good name.
Yep. And everyone here is fucked up. The entire place is actually pretty fucked up. This big mansion is on this tiny island in the middle of this lake, but the lake's water is... it looks like someone just poured a bunch of paint in it. It's all tie-dye, and I can't imagine it's safe to drink. But the people living there have been drinking it. Granted, they all look fucked up, so maybe not safe to drink. Who knows? Everyone there is a little off the rocker, as you might be able to guess. There's something like 10 people, I think, 10, 12 people on there. You have to question them all. You have to, you turn around, you figure out secrets about them by snooping around their rooms, and you put things together to figure out what the fuck happened to this young girl, Freya. And everyone here, they all have the things that they excel at. Some of them are mathematicians. Some of them are bird watchers. Some of them are astronomers. Some of them are just plain old super gardeners. You never know. They're all like experts in their fields, though, even though they all live on this island and don't leave the island. They're still amazing. I don't know. Again, game is a little loopy. It isn't all grounded in reality. Mostly because I think everyone in here is sharing a fucking delusion. Possibly even me at this point. But it's a point and click game for the most part. You know, you go around, you find clues, you grab them. Now they're in your inventory forever and ever. And then you talk to people and you'd be like, hey, look at this piece of evidence. And they'll be like, is this really a piece of evidence? And you're like, I don't fucking know. Is it?
You know, fuck it. It is.
Yeah.
This is a thing. It's happening. Make peace with it.
Is it evidence? You're goddamn right. It is. I found it. It's evidence.
There was one point where you showed something to, I don't remember which one of them, because you can show literally everything in your inventory to each individual. But I showed someone that, and the person was like, is this evidence? And then Sally was like, we don't know, probably not, but since he decided to put in his inventory, he has to claim it is, or else it's just taking up space. It's like, yes, yeah. That's fantastic. You
see this pocket lint right here? This pocket lint right here I just pulled out of my pocket? Yeah, that's evidence.
Because I say so. Damn straight. So you have to figure out the mystery of this mansion. And the reason why it's called, why the game is called Tangled Towers, because that's the name of the mansion that they're in. And it was renamed, and you had to figure out what it was originally named and why the name was changed and how everyone feels about each other. And newsflash, most of them can't fucking stand each other.
Like us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool.
Except for these people are forced to live with each other day in and day out for decades.
Oh, if I had to live with you fuckers.
No. I'd be the most miserable one because I keep things clean, and I can't imagine any of you fuckers do.
I'm a pretty clean person.
Huh.
Well. I mean, unlike Mr. I own 14 cats.
Yeah.
13.
I'm shocked it's that low. So, yeah.
The 14th is an urban myth. Yeah. It's the ghost cat.
We're actually sad because one of the outdoor cats who hangs around a lot went missing, and we don't know if he's okay or not.
Better make the outdoor cats indoor cats then, just to be extra safe. I mean,
anyway, Tangle Tower.
Okay. So it's mostly playing like
Tangle Tower.
I swear it feels like there was one, but I can't verify that because there was a lot of birds instead. I feel like there was one cat though, but it only showed up for a little bit, I think.
Okay then.
There aren't any dogs, so you can't pet the dog. Yeah, it automatically fails. Anyways, the puzzles are generally pretty simple. Like, oh, there's this room and you see it has some magnets on this lock. Well, if you move them, you can see four symbols. Oh, you go to another room. There's magnets on a similar door that look like the marks on the other one. And on this one, it has marks that look like the fucking magnets on the other door. I fucking wonder what I should do. Yeah, it's most of the puzzles are about that difficult. In fact, I think that was probably the hardest puzzle. They're not that bad. But most of it is just point and click and then talking with them about literally everything. Because you get clues from doing that, too. You might learn some new information, unlock the ability to be like, something they said is kind of fucky. And after you decide something is kind of fucky, you can go over there and you have another conversation with them and be like, well, something you said is fucky. And then you have to use all the clues and the items you found, the stuff they've said or other people have said, and formulate stuff to be like, yeah, see, this is weird and this is why. And then get the truth out of the matter out of them. And after you've done that for everybody, you eventually figure out who the murderer is. And I called the murderer damn near at the beginning of the game.
Proud of you.
Yeah. I called them right after we met that person like that. Obviously, that's the murderer. Just like, it was just so obvious to me.
Plot twist. It was exactly who you suspected.
It was who I expected to a degree, because who I expected was the killer, but they were also someone I didn't expect. So that's that. And so, yeah, there are some expected and unexpected things with who the killer is. But, yeah, so it's not complicated. It's pretty fun. It'll take you maybe 5-6 hours, probably, thereabouts, to play it. And, yeah.
Well, it's $20. What do you think?
I'm for it. I thought it was really fun. It was really cute. Sadly, there isn't going to be any replay value because none of it changes. Yeah. But it's fun. Just listening to the characters talk to each other is pretty fun. So I'm all for it. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Next up is Creepy Tale 2, developed by Creepy Brothers, published by No Gravity Games, released October 7th on the Switch for $14.99. Experience the creepy tension of a Brothers Grimm fairy tale in this puzzle adventure game. Follow the young and brave Lars as he embarks on a dangerous journey to save his sister. Zerlina covered this one, wrote in another review. This is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML friends and fam. Your girl Zerlina is back with another review. This time I'm reviewing Creepy Tale 2 for the Nintendo Switch. Let's get to it. Creepy Tale 2 is the follow-up to the original Creepy Tale that your girl also happened to review last year, so I was very excited to get my hands on the sequel. As with most sequels, there are some improvements and some regression, but we'll get to that. You play as Lars, a young man who witnesses the evil prince Marta and her monstrous servant kill his father and brainwash his sister Ellie. Lars escapes from certain death and makes it his mission to get his sister back. Naturally, it's never as easy as just saying it. The story in Creepy Tale is much more robust than the original, and that's a good thing. In the original, the story didn't really come together until the very end, and there was a lot that you had to piece together on your own. In this game, you get a lot more background on the motivations of the evil princess, as well as some other characters that I won't spoil for you. Suffice to say that there are things never as clear-cut as they seem. Let's get to the gameplay. This is still a puzzle game primarily, but there are more elements added. In the original game, you just had to find items and figure out how to use them to help you. In the sequel, you still need to find items, but now you have the added bonus of combining items to create different items that you get where you need to be. You also see and access your inventory at any time to do this. I did enjoy seeing the creativity of how the items would be combined into something else. Some noted improvements are the voice acting. All the characters you meet have something to say. Plus, anytime Lars interacts with an object, you get some info about what he's thinking concerning that object. The flavor text is nice, but the monologue can give you hints as to what to do next. Another significant improvement is the graphics. The tone and theme is still the same, but the details are very much refined. One subtle detail I noticed is the evil princess's eyes are red, showing off her evil intent. Everything looks crisp, bleak, and depressing, but crisp. Let's talk about what needs work. While the story is more fleshed out, it's still a bit unsatisfying. I still had the same feeling that I had at the end of the game, which is that it? Not saying that the ending doesn't make sense, but it feels incomplete almost. Another issue is the difficulty is wildly inconsistent. Puzzles are either super easy or switch-throwing hard, and you don't really know what puzzle you're going to run into. The game's also a little short, a little less than 2 hours, but I don't mind as much. I treat the game like an interactive, spooky movie, and 2 hours is a good runtime on a scary flick. Creepy Tale 2 is available right now on the Switch for $14.99, and should you buy it, I would give it a solid try. The atmosphere is still good, and the story is more interesting if unfinished, but the puzzles really could make you tear your hair out sometimes. I think you'd appreciate it more if you played the first one. In any event, it's worth a shot. All right, well, we got one final game to talk about tonight that is called Grobot, developed by Wabasabi Play, published by Application Systems Heidelberg, released October 21st on Steam for $19.99, an adventure about a robot saving her home from a dark crystalline force set upon a biopunk space station bursting with fantastic plants and aliens. Aki, tell us about Grobot.
You play as a little robot named Nora. She has gone to some prism station. There's like 6 of them, I think, that orbit her planet. I don't really feel like planet is right. It looks more like it's a fucking asteroid that's just sitting there in space to me personally. But they protect it with a shield. So she's going out to become a captain, one of the people who controls one of those places. That's what she's training to become, along with her friend Kiro, I think is how you pronounce it. And weird shit goes down, and then you have to figure out what the fuck is going on and how to fix things on the station that is now fucked up pretty badly. This is another point-and-click game. This one is based a lot more in reality for something that's completely batshit insane. In this, you have to occasionally create these different shields, or what they're called. Some of them are attack shields, some of them are defense shields. There's a few different types of shields, and you have to create them by using the songs from plants, namely flowers. So like a daisy, it has its own little song. And in order to create the shield, which you use to get rid of another shield, you have to create basically that same shield. And you listen to the sounds it makes, and then you have to figure out what flowers go in which of the slots to create the same song so you can counteract it. Have fun with that, guys. There is a hint system that you can flip on, which is fantastic because it tells you what the fucking sound is, which is the only reason I actually completed this game. Because without that, I never would have done this, because there's like 15 different fucking plants, maybe more, that you get the sounds of, and you keep having to make shields forever. So it's like, no. Once I had like four of them, a few of them sounded close enough to each other that I'm like, I don't know what this is. And there was one song that just used two different plants, but the both of them sounded the fucking same to me. I was like, no, I can't figure this out. And I flipped on the hint system, and I was like, okay, now I can figure it out, because it tells me each fucking no. I just have to remember the order, and I'm good. So, that's really the only thing that's specifically unique to the point-and-click style.
Unique.
I don't have a whole bunch to say about this because it's like a 2-3 hour long game.
It's $20. What are you thinking about it?
Oh, that's expensive for what this is. I say get this on sale. It's a good game. I don't know.
I love the visuals.
Yeah, it's a very cute game, but I don't know if it's like $20 cute. Especially for only a couple hours of fun. I would say wait until this is on sale. And then, yeah, totally get it. Because it is a fun, cute little game. I like the story and the arts. So, yeah.
Well, it's on Steam, so it'll inevitably be like 47 cents in a bundle or some shit.
Probably. I would say as long as it's like $5 to $8, I think it's totally worth that price.
Yeah, it looks like a good $10 game to me.
We can go that far too if you want. I'm fine with that. But 20 is just a bit too expensive for what you have here, sadly.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll bring it to console if it does well. But that is it. We made it through. Thank you all for being here, hanging out. Thanks to Jacob for being here. Hey, Ian, what kind of music should I play to end the show?
Ska.
Do you have any Lonely Rolling Stars?
Yes, I do. I can play Lonely Rolling.
Yeah.
Cool. So final song is going to be Lonely Rolling Stars for the episode. Anyone have any final words to end the show?
On behalf of Jacob, never trust a fart.